You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi. It's as we always do this on Friday morning, and it's very dull outside my window this Friday morning in Vancouver.
And Vancouver is expecting a rare snowfall on Saturday.
I hear that, yeah. Well, fortunately, it's 17 stories up in a condo tower. I'll just look at it. That's all I have to do.
It'll be a while before you have to shovel your way out the door. Of course, during the ice age, we were under a mile of ice or a kilometer or two of ice. Yeah. Vancouver Island wasn't, so it has some unique animals and plants.
They're called refugia, where the ice actually didn't hit during the ice age.
Beautiful, Bob.
There we are. That's a geology term.
Well, I thought it was the color. We'll take a look at some listener questions. Our first one comes from Andrew. A lengthy statement here. We'll take it apart. Bob has always said, in a bubble, the public chooses what they want to speculate in, and apparently they've collectively decided on digital flatulence, despite the occasional deflationary pullback. And this is a real meme coin, fart coin, conceived in a moment of meme-fueled madness just 4 months ago, has mostly been ripping higher. Will these fleeting flavor-of-the-day investments be the first to get squeezed in a post-bubble contraction, or could fart coin holders be celebrating a full-term mooning in 5 months rather than just being left holding the bag but with nothing but hot, and I will add, smelly air?
Ah, what a good fantasy that one is, yeah. Oh, bubbles are bubbles, and which is a crowd mania. Everybody just goes crazy to buy whatever stock, and actually it starts with, you got the big ones, the big favors, NVIDIA, stuff like that, and then all the way down to little local issues. The stock market really blossoms and reaches a period of absolute confidence, and lordy. So we've been looking for highs on the S&P into the new year, and we got them, but on December 18th there was a mighty whack. Just all of a sudden the bids disappeared and there was very hard selling, and I had a nice, there was a headline about it that you hadn't seen a 10-day plunge like that on data back to 1974. So that was a major hit, and then a week ago they had another bang into the market. I take those as very strong warnings on the ability of the bulls to keep all the action together, rising comfortably, etc., etc.
Also, our good friend Eric Haddock, who charts cycles, says Bitcoin especially follows the S&P index. So when it goes up, Bitcoin exponentially goes up. And then when the S&P starts to fall, Bitcoin plunges like a jet with the afterburners on with the nose straight down.
Yeah. It's strictly market phenomena, you know. It's the market forces, and they're playing the S&P generally and the Bitcoin specifically. So, yeah.
Another question. It comes from Daniel. Is it possible that in this current boom-to-bust cycle, gold replaces the U.S. dollar as the de facto world sovereign currency, and that not the U.S. dollar, but rather gold gets stronger and stronger?
Yeah, I would use the term, rather than sovereign currency, I would use the term, I've been using the term senior currency. The pattern has been, is that gold's real price is deflated by the CPI, heads down a little as a bubble completes, which it did, and then it turns up, which it has done. It's had a very good recovery. And we've got this charted on the great bubble since the first one in 1720. And the wonderful thing about the turn to rising real gold prices is that we're only a couple of years into what could be a 20-year bull market for the gold sector, you know, with some cyclical corrections and whatnot. And also, I like to keep track of gold's real price by dividing it by the CRB Commodities Index and assuming that the CRB is a proxy for mining costs. So then you never have to look at the price in U.S. dollars. What you look at is the price divided by the CRB, and if it's going up, then you know that the costs are declining relative to the bullion price. And this is where if you have a cost declining relative to the bullion price, then you have increasing cash flows and earnings and all that sort of stuff. And then if you're buying the gold stocks based on improving cash flows and earnings, that's investing, isn't it? Whereas if you buy gold on the very old and shop-worn story about gold up, dollar down, that's speculating in the foreign exchange market. So my own notion is to invest in a sector that's going to have rising earnings when the rest of commerce and industry may be having a problem. And that has been the case in every post-bubble depression going back to the 1700s. So, yeah. Like the gold sector, gold will not become the senior currency. Quite likely, the U.S. dollar will remain as the senior currency. And at some time, the public may demand that the dollar be convertible into a fixed amount of gold. I think that that can happen. And you can't get rid of the Federal Reserve as a central bank. But the only way to discipline it is to go to gold convertibility, and it'll tame them a little. The central bankers all become a very reckless lot, posing as if they were really wise and profound.
Second part to Daniel's question. Is it possible that because of all the U.S. money printing, the U.S. dollar does not become uncomfortably strong and the flight to safety that you suggest?
Aha! The key to that one is the Fed. In a full-fledged contraction, the Fed can't print. Mm. And that's it. They just can't, no more, the Fed just doesn't have the power to print. And then you get all the same thing. The price of gold goes up, and people in the gold sector make money, and the rest of commerce and industry has great difficulties.
My question is about tariffs, Bob. Are they an effective tool in shaping economies or just a way to bully people?
They're a plague. Now, I take that Trump's use of the threat of tariffs was originally to get Mexico to stop letting the bad people into the United States and, to a lesser degree, Canada as well. They were not monitoring the Canadian-U.S. border closely enough. And so this is, Trump is using the threat of these tariffs in order to get that. And he may be using the threat of tariffs to maybe get a little more. But actually, the premier of Alberta, Daniel Smith, got it right away. She cleaned up her border immediately, put on more border troops, drones and dog teams and everything else, just tighten it up so the bad guys and fentanyl can't be going into the states. And that's really what Trump wants. Now, he also may be playing a bigger game when he came up with the provocative idea of Canada becoming the 51st state. You know, the guy really likes to joke around. But I think what he's aiming for is one big trading block, with the Canadian border just being a political thing and the border open economically, people moving, everything else, north-south, just as open as you can get. And then you have one huge trading block with everything from production to natural resources.
Don't we already have that with the North America Free Trade Agreement? That was the USMDA.
Oh, yeah, but whatever. I think he wants to lock it in with even more emphasis. So, yeah.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy as he takes a look at some interesting headlines right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, Trump boom sending D.C. luxury home market into an all-out buying frenzy. I guess everybody wants to move to Washington.
Yeah, there were some pretty good headlines this time, so, yeah.
Deep Six Buzz puts tech stocks on track for a $1.2 trillion drop this whole...
And when you're drops in trillions of dollars, that's getting pretty breathtaking, isn't it?
Well, you know, we have DeepSeek, the Chinese AI chip or app that has taken a huge chunk out of NVIDIA. NVIDIA dropped nearly 20% in one day. Now, of course, whenever you go and engage something that's from China, you're directly sending your data to Beijing as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get, oh, my God, authoritarian government in China is very, very concerning to this lad, so, yeah.
Yes. Now, the shadow of Trump looms over a cautious Fed. That's from Yahoo.
Yeah.
Is that?
Let's just look at the last two words there. A cautious Fed. Now, tell me whenever the Fed was cautious. They're always out there saving the day, preventing recessions, and then when you have a recession that they were supposed to prevent, they're the ones who prevent it from running forever. I mean, the tout from central bankers is such nonsense, I can't believe it.
Another Chinese builder is facing a cash crisis. This from the New York Times. China's real estate sector really has been on a mess now for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had an immense bubble, all the classic things, and now they got towers and towers of empty residential stuff that's deteriorating. So, oh yeah, it's very sad to look at, but there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Now, we have another headline here. Biden leaves office with all-time record U.S. trade deficit. Is this what's powering Trump's tariff threats?
No, I think it's just the record. The media went along with the Biden regime, and all was well, and Biden himself was sharp and fit, and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, they realized that the guy is toast. And so some of the mainstream media are beginning to realize that that was a whole disaster. So, but it's good to have, a comment on it. Here, Biden leaves office with all-time record U.S. trade deficit. So, yeah, the media, now that Biden is out and seen to be a disaster, is no longer protecting him.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, good to be with you, and we'll look forward to getting together next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.